siete sintonizzati direttamente con David Lee Roth. Che ne dici di un po' di fuoco spaventapasseri? You're tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about some fire, Scarecrow?
I was 14, and I've heard the stories of what happens, and I've seen these kinds of things play out in front of me.
Okay. When I saw, when you say you heard the stories, what do you mean? What stories?
I mean, you see, before, look, Mariah Carey made a $100 million deal, and 3 months later, she's all of a sudden mysteriously crazy. Or Martin Lawrence punches through, and he's waving a gun on the street, screaming, "They're trying to kill me."
Yeah. Yeah, we hear those stories.
And it always happens around the time in their career where it seems as though they're crossing over the next plateau.
Yeah, yeah.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, crossing over to the next plateau. 866-313-3733. That was Dave Chappelle on Oprah. Whatever happened to Dave? Did he come under the thumb for the censorship? That was my first guess, is that he was so cutting edge that he started to infuriate all the suits behind the scene. This is classic Saturday Night Live kind of stuff. This is classic, come on, how many other, Monty Python went through all of this kind of rigmarole? Any kind of really cutting-edge comedy isn't really comedic. The best comedy isn't funny. It's an illustration of something that goes on, and you use a little sense of humor here. You got something else you want to play? Go ahead, Hutch. Play the next one, man. Swing on it. Let's hear it.
Did you say you lost your mind, sort of?
No.
No.
Not exactly.
Okay.
I wasn't crazy, but it's incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
And I felt like in a lot of instances, I was deliberately being put through stress because, you know, when you're a guy that generates money.
Yeah.
People have a vested interest in controlling.
All right, stop this nonsense. Of course, when you're earning $50 million, homeboy, which is a contract that he signed, then you're going to have somebody to carry around the sack, if nothing else, okay, classically. I'm wondering, again, if this guy came under the thumb of the censors, or did he have, like, just an Eddie Van Halen, what do you call that, a disconnect?
I thought that maybe the pressure of all that money kind of just maybe scared him.
Well, you know, once you start to, I'm going to invoke an old saying that says it takes a big stomach to enjoy large slices of good luck. Very few people can tolerate that kind of good luck. You've heard the expression that power corrupts absolutely. Well, so does a whole lot of money. And I consider $50 million a whole lot of money. All right. I don't know if it was the partying, if it was the stress of having to add up. I'd like to believe more that he was producing a lot of great material that was getting censored. I'd like to believe that he was coming up with a whole lot of skits and material humor-wise, that a lot of people found offensive, because that was his stock in trade, to cause you to think. Maybe he caused too many to think. We got another play? Go ahead, Hutch. Hit it up one more time here.
I would go to work on the show, and I felt awful every day. And that's not...
So what's new?
The way it was. I felt like some kind of prostitute or something. Like, if I feel so bad, why I keep showing up to this place?
Yeah.
I'm going to Africa.
No.
The hardest thing to do is to be true to yourself. Especially when everybody's watching.
Okay, stop it. Stop it here. Okay, hey, look. I don't jump on the edge of the amplifier while you're trying to play a living. I think there's a thin line between rage and really genius work. And as soon as you get rid of that rage, your work stinks. It sinks and stinks, okay? And I think what he's experiencing is... Like I said, I'm going to guess out loud that he was coming up with a lot of material that, again, just like when we run funny stuff here, always somebody runs through the door and you can't say that about so-and-so. Oh, my God, you can't say that about him either. And that's the funniest stuff. Why is it funniest? Because you're not supposed to. Give me a call, 866-313-3733. Give me the corrections office here, Hutch. Mike, maybe he can correct me on this. Mike, you're in. Roth Radio, go ahead.
How you doing, David Lee?
It's good, my friend. Where do you work?
I work at Bridgeport Correctional Facility in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Okay, I'm familiar with Bridgeport, Connecticut. And what is your reflection on censorship in all of this?
Well, myself personally, I'm totally against any form of censorship. And I also spent my high school years growing up in Europe, so I saw all the European stuff, and so I saw the big difference. But I'm against it, but I totally agree that this kind of music definitely leads to these guys committing more violence.
And you're saying that as a corrections officer?
Yes, I do, because that's all these guys listen to all day. This is the only kind of videos they watch, and that's all they talk about. It's either that or how many girls you're a baby daddy to. I mean, that is their, that's 90% of their conversations with each other, talking about these guys, who's got the best street cred, how many guys shoot each other, you know, I want to be like him, all this kind of stuff, yada, yada, yada.
Okay, well, granted that you're dealing with a an isolated audience, no pun intended.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and the neighborhood I have to drive through to get to this place is where they come from, and I tell you, I work the night shift, I'm going to work at 11 o'clock at night, and every single night, school nights, whatever, you got these 14-year-old kids, 13-year-old kids all hanging out, and guess what they're listening to? So that's what I hear with the windows down, into going into jail, and that's what I hear all night in jail.
So, okay, if I side with you on this, what would you do about it? What can be done?
Like I said, I am personally against all forms of censorship. I don't think, you know, where does it end? And that's the big question. That's one Thomas Jefferson probably asked himself. And I just don't know what to do. But I definitely see a correlation between the drug-related rap and the shooting on the streets. I definitely see that, especially with the 1,100 guys that are in my place every night.
Then how come they allow this kind of, this material to be played in the place where you work? They allow it freely, correct?
Correctly. We're not allowed to censor these guys.
Ah.
They have more rights inside that jail than I do.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Well, you have an interesting contradiction of terms then. And do you feel safe when you go working there?
I do, because I respect, you know, it's a respect thing. I mean, yeah, I'm a white guy, and they know that, and I grew up on a farm, so I'm like as far away from them culturally as they are. But, you know, for one thing, there's 1,100 of them, and there's only about 100 of us, so you always want to watch your back anyway. I mean, it's not a particularly safe place to work.
Okay, but do they feel the same way about country music, the way you feel about hip-hop?
Oh, no. They definitely think. I'm into heavy metal. I listened to your stuff as a kid, and I like AC/DC and Metallica, and they think that's all junk and should be taken off the air.
Okay, but that kind of material that you just named is more like spring break. That's more party material. I'm talking about an entire voter block that's on a whole nother channel that could be considered white and racist. They don't perceive it that way.
I talk to people who are my friends, and they're against rap, and they think it should be taken off the air, but then, you know, they try to pass themselves off as liberals or against censorship, but it's okay to censor rap, and you can't just do that. I mean, where does it end?
Interesting. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. And I'm going to wonder out loud again, what happened to Chappelle? He talks about the stress and, okay, yeah, there's a lot of business issues that take place here. You know, there's a lot of meetings, and suddenly you got to start accounting to the accountant and lawyering with the lawyer. But I'm convinced that his material was upsetting a lot of people behind the scenes. And I got to wonder out loud if that's not a problem, because he's one of the best contributors, one of the best new comics inarguably to come along in quite a long time. What sent this guy all the way off to Africa? You got another call there, Hutch? Go ahead, swing on that.
Then they were like, well, Dave, you know, you should just back up the pneumonia story. And I was like, that was your thing. I'm not backing up a pneumonia story. And then the next day it was in the paper that I had writer's block. Then I knew something was getting ready to get stressful, because I hadn't even started writing. I was on the schedule to write. So I was like, what's going on? Are they going to...
So these are your people trying to feed...
Manipulate. Sounds like somebody's trying to put young Dave in a compromising position.
Okay. All right. This sounds like classic paranoiac... Everybody's out to get me. What do you think, Sash? Give me the 21-year-old voter block opinion on this. Go ahead.
I agree with you. He's very politically correctly saying that. He said he felt like a prostitute. Okay. He said he felt like he wasn't being true to himself. So I'm sure he was probably being censored and got very angry. And
because of his material that he was unable to put on the show. I completely understand that. We've never had that problem here, have we? No, we haven't. We've been getting total carte blanche. Even when I say something ruinous about somebody, you know, somebody in the newspaper applauds. It winds up in page six or whatever. But I'm wondering if his racial issues are what's taking the bullet there. Because his comedy is mostly biased on what's happening between black and white, or, you know, the black person in society today. Interesting questions. And the phones are super lit up here. Give me up here. Pick one, man. Any one of them's good there, Hutch. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Lise, you're in. Speak to me, Lise.
Hey, first I want to start off by saying I'm a sex worker, opposed to some of the corrections officers and truant officers you have calling, so my opinion is going to be a little slanted in that area, but I have to say that, you know, talking about censorship is not the issue. Censorship is not the answer. And parenting isn't the answer because you're talking about a population who doesn't have parents.
So what's your cure? What's your cure?
Education.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. Come on.
Well, this is what we got to do. We got to start leveling the playing field here, Dave.
Great.
We can't just be giving all the money to the big people with the big, with the, you know, the white skin and the big, well, I don't want to say the word, but, you know, what I'm saying here is that the answer is to level the playing field.
Yeah, and every time I bring up education, everybody shouts me down. So let's start with you here. Here we go, Lise. How about gun education? What if we start teaching the kids before they're 10 years old exactly what can happen to you with guns, just like in driver's ed? We teach them safety issues because most 14-year-olds in the world today are going to have at least two experiences with a loaded firearm minus any adult supervision. And that's probably going to happen during a party sequence somewhere in somebody's bedroom or at somebody's spring break vacation or something like that. You with me so far?
I'm with you, Dave, but you know what? I grew up with the drug education, and does it work? Do people still use drugs? I mean, the answer here is I don't mean education about drugs. I mean education. I mean schools where there aren't 30 kids in a class.
Yeah, but this isn't going to happen in my lifetime. This isn't going to happen while you're young and good-looking.
This needs to happen. This is what needs to happen. The money needs to be pumped into these schools. These kids need to be given an opportunity to do something with their life. Some of these people who've made money need to go back to the neighborhoods where they came from, and they need to give back to these neighborhoods. I'm a social worker. I work with people who are drug addicts who are in residential treatment as an alternative to incarceration.
Yeah, and every time we talk about education in specifics, I love the great generalizations, and I agree with you. But I don't think anybody's paying attention to you. People shaking their heads and going, that's not going to happen until you focus, until you iso-focus on very small fragments of the overall program. And every time you do that, somebody is going to shout you down. You say, well, how about this leader? No, he's against Jews. Well, what if we teach them about gun safety? No, you can't teach my kids about that. Well, why don't we just teach them about condoms then? Nope, can't teach them about that either. Well, how about this language and that language? One by one, you will be shouted down in every single little department. So tell me focusedly, instead of this grand utopian vision, what do you plan to do?
I mean, am I a socialist, Dave? Am I a socialist? Is that what it is? Do I want to see, like, more taxes, you know, for the rich? And I want to see the playing field leveled. I want to see some of the money coming out of the school in Riverdale and going to the schools in the South Bronx. I want to see computers in those schools. I want to see smaller classes. This isn't grand utopian vision. This is simple, you know, finances here.
And you're talking about specifics, finally. Continue, please.
I mean, this is not about, you know, let's take some of the money from White Plains and let's stick it in the South Bronx. Let's take some of the money from Red Hook, you know, some of the money from Park Slope and put it in Red Hook.
And you know what the latest program is in the South Bronx? They've started taking 60 boys at a time, separating them from the girls and putting them through an extreme academic process. And there are thousands of parents now lining up to put their sons in this because they feel that the young boys are distracted, obviously, by the presence of the girls. Causes a lot of distraction there. The kids who are involved in it themselves love it. One by one. I'm seeing this on New York One. I'm watching this on the news channel, etc., etc. But you're still going to run into tons of people who claim, nope, that's sexist. Can't separate the boys from the girls. Got to go co-ed with everything. Just speak to that one thing.
You know, there needs to be something radical that happens at that level. Like, I mean, as opposed as I am to censorship, I'm for uniforms. Because at this point, you know, there's so much focus. You know, poor people focus so much on the outside and having the big, you know, the big money, the big clothes, the big, you know, things. The children can't focus on, you know, their education.
Hold on, because I got crucified for this exact comment here. I maintain that kids up until at least, I don't know, let's say 10, 11 years old, should all have their heads shaved so that nobody's competing with each other for who got the most expensive tennis shoes, so that nobody can tell the difference in the religion, so that nobody can tell who got dropped off by a limousine compared to welfare welfare worker so that nobody can share bling, so that nobody wearing earrings and choosing between who's got a real diamond and who doesn't, and that you create the idea of community before you accent on, okay, now go give yourself a mohawk. Agreed or disagree?
I'm going to take it to another step, Dave, because you know what? It forces the kids to find another way to express their individuality.
Then you are a socialist.
Oh, The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss.
Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places.
You're off and away.
Oh, The Places You'll Go.
You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights.
You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed.
You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead.
Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best.
Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest.
Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't.
I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true.
Did you go to a psychiatric hospital?
In South Africa?
Yeah.
Who? Oh, yeah, that's right. I was so...
I'm only asking because
I got to get people thinking, all right, who goes from America to Africa for medical attention?
I'll go. Just like I told the guy who believes there's flying saucers. Hell, I'd go. That was Dave Chappelle talking, and he suffers, I think the word is ennui, E-N-N-U-I. It's like when you can't decide. I think he came under the thumb of the censorship, etc. And this is what we've been talking about all morning long, okay? Here's a guy who's got a $50 million contract, and he's torn between two lovers, whatever that, you know, his idea of what's creatively great, and probably what the suits behind the scenes are thinking creatively great. What do you think, Sash? Am I on the money on this?
No,
or
I
what?
Agree. I mean, he had so much money thrown at him that, you know, does he go with what the suits want, the suits who threw the money at him, or what he believes is true to him?
Because what the suits are throwing is what we just heard, the Dr. Seuss routine with Indiana Jones, and that was for the Super Bowl. Okay, that is the what do you call this? The beautification of America. The feminization.
The
wussification of America here, all right? And I was arguing with somebody a little bit earlier about the essence of football. The essence of football is not the halftime show. The essence of football is not who sings the star-spangled whatever in the beginning. The essence of football is fist-to-face confrontation in so many senses of the word. And if you clean that up, you go to hide that, you don't describe it to your kids, you try and make that sanguine and digestible, then what happens is you have a whole lot of kids growing up thinking that... Well, where are you going to learn about life? Well, from your parents? You're going to learn about it from reading David Copperfield in your seventh grade reading class? No. You're going to learn it from watching games like football. That's where I learned it. This is where a lot of kids learn it. And if you make it clean, you make it completely acceptable to a family orientation, I don't know that that's really football. And it's certainly not a great lesson in life. It's one lesson in life. Have you seen the Jack Osborne show, Ozzy Osborne's Kid? This is a kid, I guess he's like in his mid-20s now, who grew up in this kind of an environment, okay? Never had any sports training. You can tell he fairly waddles around, okay? He's lost a lot of weight, and he's still 25 pounds over the mark, okay? This is a kid who never had contact sports to any real degree, and now his vision of doing television is, I can't really do anything, so let me do it in a lot of dangerous places. The most recent that I saw was Jack Osborne doing kickboxing in Thailand. He went to the Fairtex complex there, and he trained for a month, whatever. And he has no wherewithal at all. He has no sports training at all, has no real idea of what's happening there. He trained for about 4 weeks, in which case you could probably learn how to train. You will not be a kickboxer at the end of the 4 weeks there. And then he got into the ring. I watched this last night. Got into the ring with some guy in his late 30s. The average kickboxer quits by the time they're 28. This guy's in his late 30s. He's got 40 pounds falling over his belt line, and he totally threw the fight. Jack walks off to his parents. His mom is crying. His dad's all proud and everything. And there's no instant replay, no slow-mo, no other angle. The guy just covered up and completely dropped to throw the fight. Next, we're going to watch Jack go climb El Capitan. I guarantee you he's going to be weeping on the end of that rope when he's over 1,500 feet off the deck. I have yet to see the show, but I guarantee. And his whole premise is, well, I can't really do anything, so that's what I'll do. Well, if you learn, whether it's from soccer or football or baseball or swimming or whatever it is, you can't sugarcoat it for kids. I don't think so. And maybe Dave Chappelle grew up on a little diet of this. Maybe a little too much love and not quite enough practicality coming off from mommy and daddy, says $50 million. Dave, wake up! Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Go ahead on top, man. Don, you're in. Talk to me, David Roth.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Don. What's cooking?
I was just going to chime in on this whole, you know, censorship thing, because it's literally probably one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of, because life is what you make of it, and if that's not what you want as part of your life, don't be a part of it.
So you're just saying just shut off the TV set?
Yeah, change the channel. Watch Home Improvement TV if you can't handle the, you know, the comedy shows. I mean, I grew up, and I'm not going to lie to you, I grew up in the 80s, and I graduated in the early 90s, and I saw every change that we're complaining about now happen to my generation.
So you see really no variation at all. Let me share with you this. About 3 weeks ago, I brought a Playboy magazine from 1972 with me, and I ferreted out every single subject that we talked about as if it all happened today. And I stuck to the magazine exclusively. I didn't tell anybody until a week later. But I just, for fun, my own twisted sense of humor said, you know what? Nothing has changed at all. Watch this. And I just took the list of ingredients coming from the Playboy Advisor. Then I went to the Playboy Forum, then I went to the letters section, and it's virtually every single thing that we're talking about. Civil rights, censorship, women's rights, blah, 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 etc., etc. Nobody caught me. Nobody said anything, and nothing has changed in that period of time, evidently. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I'm actually thinking the complete opposite, because what you just read from the 72 Playboy, you can read on the newsstand in Maxim magazine that any 10-year-old can go out and buy.
And is that a good thing or a negative thing?
Personally, you know, it's personal opinion. If I'm 10 years old and I want to pick up Maxim magazine and I want to read Maxim magazine, God knows why, but, you know, maybe I saw my older brother who's 17 reading it and, you know, oh, I got to do this because it'll make me look cool in front of all my 10-year-old friends. And your parents aren't there to supervise you and say, hey, that's not the type of person I want you to be. Then, you know, that's life. That's the way it is, you know. You can't stop things like that.
No, you can't stop things like that, but you maintain that it's okay then. No censorship and let the parents handle it. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. When you were growing up, Animal, who raised you? Did your grandmother raise you mostly?
Yeah, my grandmother, she raised me. And it was, you know, like all the whoopings I got basically came from her. And my granddaddy, he was always instigating it and stuff, you know.
Now that right there, you got whoopings.
Yeah.
That's verboten today, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That's what should happen to the kids. Now, it don't hurt to take a kid out to the wood pile and straighten him out. Because, like, down south, like my son, he's 20 years old, and at the age of 14, he got a gun case and went to jail about it. And this is what happened to him. They have a program down in Montgomery, Alabama. You can check it out.
This is your son?
Yeah.
Go
this
ahead.
Is my son. And his mother called me and told me about it. So then when I talked to him, I asked him, what did they do to him? He said what they did was they got a program. They take you and show you what a gun actually do to a person. They took him to the morgue and showed him people heads blowed off and people with stab wounds, their chests open all up. He said he vomited the whole time. He threw up. Everybody in the class was like, you know, they was like all messed up. And he said he never messed with a gun again because he saw what a gun could actually do to somebody.
And
it wasn't just playing.
Did it have the same impact on his friends?
Of course.
Okay, now if I brought this up and I said, let's put this on channel, channel here. Let's put this on HBO. Let's put this on Channel 2. Let's put this on CNN. What do you think the reaction would be if we start showing horrific kinds of video of what could happen there? Don't you think people would riot against that?
Of course. They just won't. It's going to be somebody that's old, that didn't have no kids, don't even know what's actually going on. They just want their 5 minutes of fame, and they're going to make a big issue out of it. But it actually worked for my son. I'm not saying it didn't work for all of them, but all his buddies that went, they never even thought about touching a gun again because they saw what a gun can actually do to a person. I'm talking about, he said it was very graphic. He had nightmares from it. He threw up and all of that.
So if I volunteered to do that for people, I'm sure we're going to get a dozen calls going, no way, I don't want my wife to see that. I don't want the kids to see that or whatever. Let me posture this. I completely believe that there should be no censorship. You should have a free run of the field with your poetry, your photography, your cartoons, your music, your lyrics, your film, whatever the case may be. But now we're going to have to own up to the real deal here, and we're going to have to start an educational process that most of us are going to find very distasteful. And that means we're going to start with firearms. Firearms are involved in, what, 70% of all film that you see on television, movies, whatever. You can't go more than 3 minutes without somebody getting shot, whether it's a cop shooting somebody or a gangbanger shooting a gangbanger or a cowboy shooting an Indian or. And when you start to do driver's ed immersion therapy like that, you start to walk kids past horribleness pictures. You take them down to the hospital, etc. Let them meet a couple of people who have actually OD'd, all right?
Yeah.
And let them hear it over the radios. My first EMT call was over at Maimonides Hospital here in Brooklyn. I signed on. We signed on at 6 o'clock. At 6:05, I watched some kid OD and die from cocaine overdose. He's a 25-year-old kid. The very first call that I ever did as a badge-carrying EMT. It has a jarring effect, okay? Especially when you hear all the doctors and everybody calling in over the radios, etc. A very jarring effect. I'm all for it. In terms of what violence does, gotta show them the movies. In terms of beating up your wife, gotta show them the movies. Gotta have somebody come down to the class and testify before they're teenagers. In terms of drinking in on spring break, drink and drive, hey, I'll introduce you to a couple of quadriplegics, okay? Yeah, let's talk about that too. And it'll be a horrifying array, but I don't see any other way that you can maintain anti-censorship, which I think is absolutely the most important to any of us here. 866-313-3733. Give me the top one here. Trichton. I can't pronounce that. Christian. Here we are, Christian. What's up?
Hey, Dave. Congratulations on the show. It's great.
Thank you.
So I worked on the Dave Chappelle Show for the first 2 seasons.
Please.
And the thing is, I'm with him, you know? I think he feels, not that he told him personally, but that being that the show is so successful, he wants the freedom. He wants he wants coming to work to be fun for him. So that means if he doesn't want to come in one day, you know, you just have to suck it up. And if he comes in at 5 o'clock in the afternoon instead of 6 a.m., well, then you should just have an additional crew that's standing by to work that. If it's extra production cost, he just feels, he just feels it doesn't matter. You know, the show's very successful, and he wants to have fun doing it. He doesn't want all this. That's really where the pressure comes from, is just from like all these, you know, when you're with a television show or a movie, it's run like a military operation, you know?
Sure.
And he just doesn't want, you know, that confinement. He wants like a freedom, not so much structure.
Understood. Was he willing to pay for that freedom out of his own pocket?
I think that's what he was trying to say. I think he was like sort of getting at that. You know, I feel like he didn't really express and articulate what he was trying to say on Oprah. I don't know what the story was there. He seemed like out of it. But I don't think he's against taking a cut, a percentage. Losing a percentage going towards that.
Okay,
you know?
Well, if he is willing to pay for that out of his pocket, I'm all for it.
I don't think he's willing to pay 100%. You know, I think he's willing to kick in something towards it, you know, to have a more lenient schedule. That's why even on the show, on the Oprah, when he was saying how he wants to surround himself with his guys, you know, and he wants to, that's really what, he wants to bring the fun back to it, too. Come and go as he pleases with his guys and shoot stuff and have fun making it, you know?
Like, yeah, I do know.
Here we go. This is what we'll do. I want to restructure the deal. You keep the, no, don't keep nothing. We're gonna work. We're gonna get the proper foundations. We're gonna figure it out. Half the DVD revenue, if we can make a deal where I have the control that I like, and half the DVD revenue goes back to the people that we see fit.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna make a deal with you here, but first I want to read you that not all rappers are as freaky as they claim. Coming out of Miami on the Wireless Flash, a pioneering rapper is doing his bit for truth in advertising by revealing which hip-hop stars are as freaky as they claim. Luther Campbell, hey, we remember him, the man behind the infamous 2 Live crew, is about to release an audio autobiography, Uncle Luke, My Life and Freaky Times, that reveals the ins and outs of his sex romps, as well as those of celebrities like Lil' Kim, Mike Tyson, and Bob De Niro. Uncle Luke's freak standards. Sadly, many of them fall short of Uncle Luke's freak standards, for example. Lil' Kim claimed to be a sex freak, but when he brought in 15 or so guys and asked her to have an orgy, guess what? She refused. Okay. Well, at least he's making a bid for a grounded, sensible statement in these harshly censored times, huh? I'm not going to weigh in just yet on whether or not I believe in the censorship, but I've got what's called an angry black man that's listed up there on there. Go ahead, Hutch, tile in Rakim. Rakim, Roth Radio, you're good to go. Go on, Holmes. Are you there?
All right, Dave.
Yo, Rakim.
Finally, I get to talk to Diamond Dave.
What's cooking?
I just wanted to say that I'm black. You probably can tell. I'm from Cambridge. And I'm sitting here listening to all the things that the people are calling up saying. A lot of it's wrong. Got a guy in there named Animal. He thinks he knows who the first gangster rapper was. Absolutely wrong.
Take it with a block of salt. Anyways.
And I grew up listening to, one of my favorite albums was 84. I grew up, and some of the videos that I seen as a kid, I think you have to take credit for the women in videos. With California Girls and Just a Gigolo and Hot for Teacher. Right.
Take credit for the girls in what sense of the word, Rakim?
Of bringing the girls to the forefront, making them more appeasing in videos.
Well, what I did is I did vaudeville. I did something closer to what the Marx Brothers might have done in the 1930s on a Broadway stage. And in fact,
with
instead
the Gigolo
of
video, right?
Yeah, totally. And instead of making fun of the girls, I make fun of me. It's a self-deprecating humor kind of thing. I'm not making fun of the girls at all. It's my incapacity to think right when I'm around a pretty girl, something that I still struggle with.
Right,
okay,
right.
But in terms of being angry, what are you angry about, Rakim? Go ahead.
I see you're failing to mention the white rappers that have a lot to do with this, too.
Okay, well, I'm not failing to mention any type of rapper. I'm just saying harsh, violent rap in general is what I'm reflecting on. And you know what? I got no problem with any of it as long as we start to install a realistic school program of education here. Pretending that the Super Bowl needs to be gentrified and feminized, pretending that the playground needs to be gentrified and feminized, no gun education, no violence education, no sexually transmitted disease education. I think that's ruinous. You can't have a non-censorship program without all of those educational facilities intact. Agreed or disagree?
I agree.
Thank you
I
very
agree
much.
Totally. And I go back to the censorship. Censorship doesn't work because when you look at Allen Ginsberg, one of his books was censored in, 60?
Sure.
But now today he's held as one of the great American writers of our times. His books are being taught in colleges.
Yeah, and the same thing with Mark Twain, you know, but you'll still find tons and tons of people who have a problem with Huckleberry Finn because it says the N-word over 260 times in the course of the book. However, the content of the book is anti-racist. That's why he uses the word so frequently. I think you need to have the education along with the anti-censorship or the whole thing's going to fall into itself. Animal, weigh in on this. You had a thought.
Now, he said that I didn't know who the first gangster rappers was. You do familiar with Eazy-E and are you? Are you not?
Are you familiar with Busy B?
Of course.
Wild Style?
Of course.
Okay, all right, guys, you can compare your stuff later. I agree with what you're saying, Rakim. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. What's the next one that looks good here? Pick one that looks really good. Okay, death metal. Hit me up on death metal. Here's something we don't hear in the words of censorship these days. Go ahead, my friend. You're on.
Diamond Dave.
Tim.
I think everybody needs some sensible shoes nowadays.
I agree.
Okay, but it's not just the rappers. You know, I'm not a big rap fan. I grew up listening to Van Halen and you know, Rush and
in that area, and my son listens to all this death metal and, you know, System of a Down and Insane Clown Posse, all these really negative messages in music anymore, and I really think it's a shame because
What's the negative message of death metal? What's the negative message? That's just teenage depression. That's just dramatization of, oh, woe is me, which is always a good tune for a teenager to play, no?
Yeah, but I think some of the subjects that they, I mean, look at Marilyn Manson. Well, you know, he's way out there, dude.
No, he's not. He's nothing but a comic book character who's something like out of a comic strip. I don't think anybody takes him seriously as a mentor or an archetype or a hero or anything any more than we took Black Sabbath to really be wizards. Agree or disagree?
I agree. But also, you know, I'm thinking with an adult mind, and so are you. You know, these kids nowadays, you know, they're very easily influenced by all this stuff.
Consequently, we need to have a very serious educational applied. Are you okay with me teaching your kids gun safety?
Absolutely.
You okay with me teaching your kids birth control?
Absolutely.
You in touch with me teaching your kids what pornography is? I won't show it to them, but they should know in case they run across it. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm absolutely okay with that. I think education is the key to, you know, a better society.
Swinging, Tim. I'll vote for you when you run for governor. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Give me a call. Argue with me. Censorship. South Park. One of my favorite combinations. Scott, you're on. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Excellent.
See, what I don't understand is, like you, there's certain words you can't say on the radio, but South Park can say whatever they want. Why? Is it because they're a cartoon?
No, it's because it's on a different channel. It comes with a different bias, okay? It's like a lot of my favorite magazines aren't in the front of the store. and I'm perfectly content with that because there are a lot of people who can't deal with my kind of favorite magazines occasionally. So I accept that. I understand that there are a lot of parents who can't explain to their kids why Dave said this or why Dave said that. So I got no problem skipping the magic seven words or whatever. You know, you can discuss any kind of subject under earth without actually having to swear about it. Plus, you know, I'm probably thinking it anyway. However, South Park, I'm never sure if they're making fun of the people they're making fun of or those of us who are actually watching it. What do you think?
That's the whole thing. But I mean, they can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. You know, I mean, come on. You got a turd that talks. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, and I think that's a terrible thing to say about Sam. He's doing the very best that he possibly can. Nevertheless, I think South Park is one of the healthiest shows going because it does for a lot of people what Mad Magazine did for me when I was growing up. Back in the early 60s, I'd go to Mad Magazine because that's where I learned how to see where people were lying to me, how I could tell when somebody was trying to sell me something, how to detect facade, how to see through transparent people. And then when I graduated to Playboy magazine, I was really good with the girls.
I understand that.
Thanks
but
for
I just don't understand why you're going to, you know, tell rappers or tell, you know, certain people, well, you can't sing about this, you can't do about that, but we're going to talk about it as long as it's a cartoon.
You know what? A cartoon is often more digestible because you can blur your mind. Remember when Beavis and Butthead were the best television critics going? They were the only ones who could say something negative about a video because MTV and VH1, they got political tie-ups with the managers and the record companies, so they can't say anything. And the managers and the agents aren't going to say anything because they're making a percentage. So we depend on cartoon characters to depict for us what the real human beings would not say. I think South Park fills that beer. I'm going to have one after this.